वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर नंबर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2 श्री चमस उवाच मुखबाहुर्पादेभ्यः पुरुषाश्रमै सह चत्वारो जग्गिरेवर्ण गुणैर्विप्रादय पृथक् श्रीचमच उवाच मुखबाहुर्पादेभ्यः पुरुषाश्रमै सह चत्वारो जग्गिरे वर्णा गुणै विप्रादय पृथा श्रीचमच उवाच मुखबाहुर्पादेभ्यः पुरुषाश्रमै सह चत्वारो जग्गिरे वर्णा गुणै विप्रादय पृथक् माताजी श्री चमस से मुख फेस बाहु आर्म्स ऊरु थाइस पादेभ्य फ्रॉम द फीट पुरुषस्य ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड आश्रमय द फोर स्पिरिचुअल ऑर्डर्स सह वित चत्वारह फोर जगिरे वेर बॉर्न वर्ण द सोशल ऑर्डर्स गुणै बाय द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर विप्रादय हेडेड बाय द ब्राह्मणस पृथक वेरियस ट्रांसलेशन श्री चमस सेड Each of the four social orders headed by the Brahmanas was born through different combinations of the modes of nature. From the face, arms, thighs and the feet of the Supreme Lord in His universal form. Thus the four spiritual orders were also generated. Purport. Those who are not spontaneously attracted to the devotional service of the Lord can be gradually purified by observing the Varnashrama system of the four social orders and four spiritual orders. According to Sridhar Swami, the Brahmanas are born of the mode of goodness. The Kshatriyas of the combination of goodness and passion, the Vaishyas of a combination of passion and ignorance, and the Shudras of the mode of ignorance. Just as the four social orders are born from the face, arms, thighs and feet of the Lord's universal form, similarly, the Brahmacharis are generated from the heart of the Lord, the householder order from his loins, the Vanaprasas from his chest and the Sannyas order from his head. A similar verse is found in Ruk Samhita as well as the Yajurveda and the Atharva Veda. Brahmanasya Mukhadasi Bahu Rajanna Krutaha Uru Tad Asyad Vaishya Padbhyam Shudro Jayata. The Brahmana appeared as his face, the king as his arms, the Vaishya as his thighs, and the Shudra was born from his feet. It is understood that the pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord has already been described by two of the Yogendras, Drumila and Avihotra. Chamasamuni now describes the system of Varnashram Dharma because this system is meant to gradually purify those who are inimical to the Supreme Lord, bringing them back to their constitutional position of love of Godhead. Similarly, the Virat Purusha or universal form of the Lord is an imaginary form meant to help the gross materialists gradually understand the position of the personality of Godhead. Since the foolish materialist cannot understand anything beyond the matter, he is encouraged to see the entire universe as a personal form of the Supreme Lord's body. The impersonal conception of the formless is a mere negation of temporary material variety without any concept of the Lord's spiritual potency. The impersonal view is another kind of material speculative conception. The Supreme Lord is full of spiritual potencies under the principal headings Ladini or unlimited bliss, Sandhini or eternal existence, and Samvit or omniscience. It is understood from this verse that the Varnashram Dharma system generated from the universal form of the Lord is a program offered by the Lord to engage the conditioned soul in a complete social and religious system that gradually brings them back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from this fifth chapter, wherein Maharaj Nimi is inquiring from Chamasamuni. Yesterday, it was discussed. That his question was, what is the fate of those people who do not worship the Supreme Lord yet they are indulging in sense gratification? And in answer to his question, Chamasamani is replying, in today's verse, he is describing about Varnashrama Dharma. And it is very interesting to know that all these nine Yogendras are traveling together. And one of them is being asked and he is giving answers. Whereas, all eight of them, they are just, you know, hearing what is being discussed. So generally, preaching is, you know, we see or we hear that it is one-to-one generally. One person speaks and several hear. Here, one person is hearing, of course, the kingdom, his subjects could also be there hearing whatever the discussion going on. But especially there are nine Yogendras and they are delivering their spiritual subject matters to King Nimi. And King Nimi is a true parent, like a king, in the sense that just like a parent, he takes care of his children, however naughty or mischievous they may be. Similarly, here we see how King Nimi is concerned about even those people who are inimical to the worship of the Lord, and yet they are indulging in sense gratification. And is even concerned about such people, if they are existing in his kingdom. And he want to know what is their destination. And the answer will be given in the next verse, that is the third verse, which will be discussed tomorrow. But in today's verse, he is giving the background. In the sense that he is giving basically a solution itself. Tomorrow he will be speaking about the fate of the people who will reject the Lord and indulge in sense gratification. Whereas in today's verse, he is giving the solution itself. What is that solution? One has to follow the Varnashrama Dharma. And what is Varnashrama Dharma? It is explained that it is a structure or a system which allows the practitioners to engage their tendencies. And then in the meantime, they can also make proper spiritual advancement. That is called as Varnashrama Dharma. And in Prabhupada, in his lectures and in his writings, he describes about four types of varnashramas. And he says that first is Vedic varnashrama, second one is Asuri varnashrama, third one is Tatkala varnashrama, and fourth one is Daivi varnashrama. And what is Vedic varnashrama? So it is explained in Vishnu Purana. Varnashramacharavata purushena parappuman Vishnu raradhyate pantha nanyat tattosha karanam. That means, Lord Vishnu is worshipped by proper execution of varnas and ashramas. And in order to worship and satisfy him, varnashram is the only way and there is no other way. That is a translation. So this Vedic varnashrama, of course, it was there in prevalent bygone ages. Presently, it is not there. But since it has been established by the Supreme Lord Himself, it is very worthy. And presently, it is dormant. In the sense that anybody can activate it. Those who are empowered beings, they can activate it and then you can see that people will take to that. Second one is Asuri Varnashram. What is Asuri Varnashram? Is basically a vitiated caste system which is prevalent nowadays. That means every member of the society, every Varna and Ashrama man, he will claim his birthrights. A Brahmana may say that I am taken birth in Brahminical family, therefore I am a Brahmana. But there is no discussion about his qualities. Just because he has taken birth as a Brahmana, so he will claim that I am a Brahmana. Similarly, other Vaishyas and Shudras also. And then comes the Tatkalik Varnashram. So many a times, not very often, it is seen that in a specific situation, a member of the varnashram system, may not be able to follow his duties of his varna. Not ashram, varnas especially. So, for example, brahmana may not be able to act as a brahmana. He will act like a kshatriya. We see that in the case of Dronacharya, he acted. Also in case of Bhishma, it was like that. And Parashurama also, we see these three examples. How they took to the duties of other varnas. And then comes Srila Prabhupada. He emphasizes on this fourth one, that is Devi Varnashrama or Divine Varnashrama. And Divine Varnashrama is the application of the Varnashrama principles, keeping Supreme Lord in the center. And he discusses about it that there are at least four features of this Varnashrama. What are those? And the first one is members will take active participation in co-production as well as agriculture. They will take active participation. And then secondly, the establishing Varnashrama colleges everywhere, and people are gathered and they are given the knowledge, basic knowledge and training also, how to lead a Varnashrama system. And then the third one is mutual respect for each other, because there could be conflict even in them. So therefore there should be a proper understanding or mutual respect for each other's Varna as well as Ashrama. And then the fourth one, Prabhupada said that introducing and applying Varnashrama principles globally. And according to time, place and candidate. Prabhupada emphasized this fourth one, that one should be able to take up this one starting with one's own example. One can take up to this Varnashrama system according to one's capacity. So that we can practice this Varnashrama, Daivi Varnashrama especially. It is said that pure devotional service is like walking on a tight rope. It will be very difficult. Any time one may fall down. So therefore this Varnashrama system helps him like a safety net, as a safety net. If there is a safety net below, then one could easily walk through. So therefore, when one takes shelter of Varnashrama system, he can properly execute a pure devotional service. That is how it is understood. So Krishna Swadhama Pagate Dharma Jnana Divisaha Kalavanashta Drushamesha Punaratku Drunodita. It is said that in Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, Lord Krishna, when he departed from this material world after winding up his pastimes, he immediately reincarnated in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that we read every day and discuss from. And in order to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we should have a proper example of those devotees who are actually practicing the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam in their own lives. So therefore, it is very essential to know and study the lives of those devotees who have practiced what is written in Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, Prabhupada used to just say that there are two kinds of Srimad Bhagavatam. One is Book Bhagavat, which we discuss every day, and another one is Person Bhagavat. Person Bhagavat is he or she who practices in one's life the principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, I thought of discussing about this one great soul, a great Mahabhagavat. Her name is Her Grace Ladini Devi Mataji. She used to be Srila Prabhupada's disciple. And last Ekadashi, Indira Ekadashi, marks her disappearance day celebration. That means, recently we celebrated Ekadashi. Before that, the Ekadashi, which was known as Indira Ekadashi, was her disappearance day. So therefore, let us try to discuss about this great soul. Her Grace Ladini Mataji appeared in the city of Detroit, Michigan, United States, in In the year 1949, January 16th, her father was Donald Jury and mother Helen Jury. Father was a doctor and mother Helen Jury was housewife. At that time she was given the name Linda. Linda was their eldest daughter. She had a sister as well as brother. Sister's name was Donna and William was her brother. So they were leading a very peaceful, happy life in the suburbs of Detroit. And just like any children, she was very fond of animals. It is said in that book, Legacy of Love, that she was very fond of her dog, of course. And she had also named the dog, like Pepper Doodle was the name of the dog. And she had a frog. There was a frog in front of, you know, their home. And she brought that frog into a nice bucket of water and she placed it in. And she named it also, like Herbie. Herbie was the name given to the frog. And in her college, she was studying behavioral psychology. And in that session, all the students were given the rats, mouse. And they were supposed to take it home and nicely take care of them and bring them to the laboratory so that they can cut and see what is there in. And when the day arrived that everybody was told to bring their rats, and Linda was very much frightened, what will happen to my rat? Of course it will be cut. So therefore she said that some or other she took it but then the thought itself was so horrible, so she somehow or other she took that rat cage and she covered herself with some kind of a gown or something, and then she came home. And her mother asked, what happened, what happened, what is this new dress and why you are bringing this rat back? She said that, see, I couldn't bear the fact that it will be cut, this rat will be killed, so therefore I couldn't tolerate that, therefore I just brought it home. And then what about this big gown and everything? Then she said that because I had to come by bus, but I was not very sure this conductor of the bus may not allow this rat to be carried through. So therefore she thought that let me cover, and she brought it covering that rat to her home. And in the meantime, the Pepper Doodle, the dog, because some accident took place and the dog died. And she was so much overcome by grief that she, for days she was kind of, you know, weeping and weeping in separation from this dog. And she also wrote a beautiful poem in separation from her dog, Pepper Doodle. And that shows that how much she was concerned with, you know, even insignificant living. They are not insignificant, but people think like that. And she was even concerned about all such living entities. So then later on, she got married to Michael Ryan in 1969 when she was 20. And both of them, Michael and Linda, they started living in the city of Detroit. At that time, on one fine Sunday, they were walking down the street and they saw Harinam Sankirtan party going on. The devotees were chanting Hare Krishna. And they were distributing pamphlets of the program, local Detroit temple. And everybody got it and Michael got it. And Michael heard and saw that, you know, there is a program every Sunday. The Bhagavad Gita lectures. And so he called her, let's go. She denied, no, how can I will not come. And in fact, she told, you should also not go. Initially, she was not very sure about it. she resisted. So Michael went alone and he attended the program and came home. And then she heard from him what all happened there. And later on she also started going to the temple. And then that time Bhagwan Prabhu was the temple president of Detroit, I believe. So she approached him and then she heard that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is coming. And she met Prabhupada in the sense he heard from Srila Prabhupada. And then year or so later, so she expressed her desire to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada. And then in 1970, March, she got initiated. And Srila Prabhupada gave her the name Ladini Devi Dasi. Then onwards we can see her life, how it changed. So in Detroit temple, a new big Jagannath deities came and they were being worshipped there. And Ladini Mataji, she used to stand in front of the altar for five, six, seven hours continuously looking at the deities. Can you imagine? We can't even be there, you know, for 5 minutes or 10 minutes maximum. We stand in the Mangalarti because we have to. Otherwise, any arti, I don't think I'm standing there for all 15, 20 minutes or 25 minutes. But Mataji stood not for minutes, for hours, 5, 6, 7 continuous hours, standing in front of the deities and just looking at them. If one is not surcharged with love of God, where is the question of, you know, standing there and looking at the deities? And it was not one day, today it went on for months and months. And Narayan Rishi writes in that book, Legacy of Love, that how remarkable it was that she was so much attracted to Lord Jagannath. And continuously she used to look at the Lord with so much love. And that time, Shilavati Mataji, who used to be known as head pujari of entire ISKCON, in the sense, in those days, she was the head pujari of every temple. She used to go every week, different temples, like Detroit, Columbus, Miami, Chicago, like that. She used to travel and she used to take care of the deities and also train up the devotees to take care of the deities. And Ladini Mataji also started going with her and she also got trained up herself to worship the deities. And ultimately she came to New Vrindavan and she wanted to settle there and she settled there. And it so happened that as soon as she came there, she was given the worship of big Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra deities, marble deities. And Sri Sri Vrindavan Nath, small brass deities. And also a set of Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, small deities. She had to worship all these, you know, seven deities alone. She started worshipping. And the meantime, in one of the, I think it was Bahulavan or something like that, so there were a set of Jagannath deities, another set of deities. They were not taken care and they were just kept like that. When she heard that deities are not being worshipped, she personally went and she cleaned up that area and she started worshipping them also. Although it was very austere and very, very difficult for alone to, you know, serve so many deities, but she took to that. And later on, Kuladri Prabhu, I think Narayan Prabhu called big, big Jagannath deities, 5 feet high. And Kuladri Prabhu, they all nicely decorated and painted it and they were sent to Madhuvan, a place in New Vrindavan. There are 12 forests of Vrindavan where she started worshipping big Jagannath deities. And it is explained in that book her austerities, how she served the deities. She used to get up 2 in the morning, early in the morning, 2 o'clock. And for bathing, ice cold water almost throughout the year. There was no question of heating system. 1970-71, that time. That was the time. And she had to go down below the hill to chop the wood so that she could, you know, heat up the water and also heat up the cook for the deities. She alone went with chopper in her hand down the hill for quite distance, and then she used to bring that firewood and she would start heating up the water then for the deities. And of course there are two bulls, it is mentioned in that book, there are two bulls, and they were harassing every time whenever she went down. With all of that she did these austerities without complaining anytime anybody. And then she used to cook for the deities. Before, of course, she used to chant her all 16 rounds before the Mangala Aruti, walking to and fro and playing Srila Prabhupada's chanting of Hare Krishna mantra tape in the background. She used to chant all her 16 rounds like that. And then she used to cook for the deities. In the sense that first of all, she used to take some milk and just put it in the stove over there. And it used to boil and boil. And in the meantime, she used to make ghee wicks. You know, our devotees, they sit and make ghee wicks here. She used to make every day, that time only because she didn't have time. You'll hear her, you know, schedule. It was such tight schedule. She used to make ghee wicks. And wake up the deities in the meantime. And by the time, this milk used to be boiling. And she would throw some, you know, just she used to take some sugar and just put it there. And stir for a while and again she would run back. And that was the time for now Mangalarti, because deities are woken up. And she used to perform Mangalarti herself. Not one Mangalarti, 6 aratis and 6 bhoga offering. And she used to also cook for the deities. She cooked all 6 offerings herself and she offered it. And in the morning, every day dressing, not one day, one day a week. Every single day she dressed the deities. Every single day she offered 6 aratis. Every single day she cooked 6 bhogas for the Lord. And not one bhoga, morning, Shringar bhog, then breakfast, Mangal bhog, Rajbhog, Vaikalika, and then Sandhya, like that. 5-6 offerings she used to cook. And her making of that, you know, pedas was very simple in the sense she wouldn't be there to, you know, look at it. She used to throw some this and that and go back and again come and see. And some or other within 25 or whatever time, it used to become little semi-solid and she would take it off and then she would spread it around, and after some time she used to cut it down and she used to offer. And devotees have told that it used to be such a nectarian, of course after offering to Jagannath, it used to be a very, very relishable item. And we see that it was not attended for, in the sense she was not standing and doing it all standing there, because she didn't have time. She used to run around here and there doing so many other things. But still, because of naturally for her dedicated services and love and affection for the Lord, it used to come every time the perfect. And not only that, she used to make dresses for the deities and jewelries also for the deities. She did it throughout so many years. And it is explained about her sadhana. She chanted all her rounds as we discussed, walking to and fro in the temple room. And she chanted very loudly, it is said. Very loudly she used to chant, but very lovingly at the same time. And then while she cooked any bhoga for the Lord, she always heard Srila Prabhupada's tapes behind playing. And whenever she dressed the deities, that time also she used to hear from Srila Prabhupada, any tapes or lectures like that. And every Ekadashi, Mataji followed no food, no water at all. Nirjal. Every Ekadashi was followed Nirjal. And Just like whatever we discussed, this was her schedule, throughout the day schedule, whether it is Ekadashi or any other day. And Ekadashi, no food, nothing, no water at all. And on top of that, she used to recite all 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. That was her offering to Lord Jagannath to recite Srimad Bhagavad Gita every single day, every Ekadashi rather. And she did it throughout all her life, in the sense whenever she lived in New Vrindavan. And she used to cook so many items for the deities. And one, it is mentioned in that book, Advaita Acharya Prabhu, who used to be like, you know, a farmer in that field, and he had his horse. And he said that, I made sure that I would roam around that Bahulavan temple where Mataji used to be taking care of the deities and cooking. And at 12:30, 1 o'clock, you know, every day I used to roam around with my horse. And Mataji, after her, you know, she used to making her, you know, offering, she used to ring her bell. And by that time, he would be in the vicinity of ashram where Mataji lived. And after the offering is done, every single day Mataji came out and she called anybody nearby. Please come and honor Prasadam. She used to cook and she used to feed devotees with her own hands. And Advaita Acharya Prabhu said, whenever I got opportunity, I made sure that I had that Mahaprasad given by Mataji. She was not only expert in cooking, but she was also expert in distributing Prasad, whatever she cooked. And it is said that her favorite preparations were khajas for Lord Jagannath, Simply Wonderfuls, cinnamon rolls, she used to cook kind of preparation, laglus, cauliflower pakodas, and so many other items, kachoris and samosas and so many other items. She used to cook so many items and she used to lovingly offer to the deities and then distribute it. And she used to take little bit of prasadam after everybody took. This was her everyday kind of schedule. And whenever Rathyatra came, it was a big celebration for her. Rathyatra was a big celebration. And of course, before that, there is a Snanyatra. Big deities were actually bathed. And then, as we hear that Jagannath becomes sick, so he is kept in a seclusion. And Mataji used to be there all day, all night with the Lord, taking care of his needs. And at that time, she didn't speak much with any devotees because she was also observing that seclusion with the Lord. And when she was with the Lord, she always read Chaitanya Charitamrita in front of the Lord. That was her regular duty. And it is said that she read so of Srila Prabhupada's book so many times with such a tight schedule. Can you imagine how many times she read? It is said that she read Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita twice. She read Srimad Bhagavatam thrice. And she read Chaitanya Charitamrita complete five times. Five times Srimad, all these books, not one time. And any time, whenever there is to be a new book coming of Srila Prabhupada, a new book arriving, so Mataji used to make sure all her services are done, and she used to run in a room and close herself up. And from, it is said that from back to back, from front page to the last cover page, she used to read. And there are so many devotees who are, you know, speaking about this quality of her. Of getting so much attraction towards Srila Prabhupada books. I mean, it is hard to imagine how anybody can, you know, find out so much time to read so many books. And it is how she read books, that also is mentioned. Between the two offerings, whatever little time she had, she used to sit and read. And while now the offering is done, after saying her Gayatri, whatever, 5-10 minutes, and she also had to make aarti plate, and how much time is left now? Hardly 5 minutes or 7 minutes. That was the time she sat down and read Srila Prabhupada books. Every single opportunity she took to read Srila Prabhupada book. Therefore she could read so many times in the span of maybe 10-12 years with such a tight schedule. And this is how Mataji led her life. And actually it is explained in that book. She used to underline whatever she read and whatever she found it very, very important. So let me lead it for you. So, yeah. Appendix. Ladini would often highlight points that were dear to her while reading Srila Prabhupada books. These highlighted purports from her copy of Nectar of Instruction reveal the essence that she obtained from this most sacred text. She has highlighted these points. Therefore, to understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in his footsteps, one must seriously follow in the footsteps of six Goswamis. And then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. However, if one is fortunate enough to get the association of pure devotee, he can easily surpass all the practices of controlling the mind. One who practices resisting these demands of urges is called tapasvi, or one who practices austerities. Next one. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to avoid very palatable dishes even while eating prasad. Do not dress luxuriously and do not eat delicious foodstuffs. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, the association and services of such a Mahabhagavat, a perfect Vaishnava, are most desirable. Out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found to be very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord and strictly following all the regulatory principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds or japa beads, and always thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as Uttamadhikari, a highly advanced devotee, and his association should be always be sought. So there are so many other points also she has highlighted, but this suffice to say that whatever she has highlighted, they are very important in that sense. And Mataji, after some time living in New Vrindavan, she had to go to South Africa. She went there. Of course, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was also there. They were trying to preach over there. And she, her favorite way of preaching used to be taking, you know, small kids and going on Harinam early in the morning. And literally thousands and thousands of kids used to follow her. And not only that, she used to meet high, big government officials and talk to them and start. She also preached to them. And when Mataji was there in South Africa, there was a group of devotees, of course, and they were trying to run a center there, and the things were going on. So, of course, before she left New Vrindavan, it is said that in that book that Lord Nityananda Prabhu, whom he worshipped on the altar, used to come in her dream every day, and he used to ask her that, come on, what are you doing here in New Vrindavan? Get up and go out and preach the message of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And then, because she was reading CC in those days, and Mataji used to, for some time she used to go around New Vrindavan, cities like Columbus and other cities, and she used to go and preach. And when she was out there, when she used to be there at night, Lord Balaram used to come in her dreams and she would ask her, what are you doing here, giving up my service? What kind of pujari are you? You should be there in New Vrindavan and take care of me. And giving up my service, what is this preaching going on? Who is going to become devotee anyway? Come back and serve me. And Mataji used to come back and take care of her duty service to Jagannath Baladev. And again she is in New Vrindavan. Again she used to hear from Nityananda Prabhu to get away from New Vrindavan and preach. And this happened so many times. And Mataji wrote actual letters to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. She was also, in the year 2000 actually, he spoke about glories of Srimati Radharani, Ladini Mataji once. So that time I was describing that how Mataji wrote so many letters to Maharaj. And this kind of a dilemma what she was facing. So ultimately, she surrendered to Lord Nityananda Prabhu and she gave up the service of Jagannath. She came to South Africa and she started living there. And of course, recently, a couple of years before, our devotees performed this drama, Legacy of Love. I think many of our devotees. And Dwarkadish Prabhu acted like the Johnson, and it was a nice drama. You must have seen. Our videos are available. You can just see that. Very wonderful drama. Very nicely performed. And in those days, she actually wrote one letter to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And that letter is also published in that book. So I'll just read it for you. A letter to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, written in Africa. Mataji is writing to Lord Nityananda. My dear Lord Nityananda Ram, I came to seek your association in a distressful condition to have you dispel my fears and pick me up with your compassionate loving energies. I needed an injection of your strength to combat the battles of the future. I needed confirmation that I was truly in complete harmony with your desire. But on contacting you, how can I ever return? You must teach me the mystic art of living in both the places simultaneously. Please let me stay at your lotus feet. You have bound me with your ropes, so I am powerless to move anywhere. You know everything of my insides and outsides. I am simply praying that my insides and outsides become so non-different than you that everyone that comes close to me will get you and the divine energies that you are made of. I cannot keep this wealth to myself when all around me people are suffering, searching for it. My dear Lord, you have given me so much. Let me be permitted to share and distribute to all. Some rare souls can see that I have coveted great wealth and they come begging in all sincerity just to keep their lives from starving. How can I feast and not be able to give? My Lord, I cannot maintain this life if I cannot assist them. I cannot tolerate another suffering, which is simply a reflection of your compassionate nature. I do not want praise or glory or even gratitude. You can use me as your invisible agent. Lord, please deliver them from their suffering. At any cost, I will pay. If you grant this one benediction, don't let me be any form or shelter if you cannot deliver your divine shelter. Give them all you have given me. Even more, my existence is proof to the world of your divine compassion. But how to let it be known? I have tried several ways. Some caused havoc and confusion, others great strength and conviction. I pray you never let me stray one fraction from your divine will and mission. Let all my desires, energies, words, activities and love be merged as a sacrifice to your loving feet. Let there be no more I separated from you. Whenever one sees my existence, let him see, feel and experience you. Let me be your postman to bring their love to you and your love to them. Keep me with you always. Keep me bound, body, mind, words and life, with ropes of love. I am totally unfit to be a recipient of your mercy, but I know of your compassion and divine love. Therefore, I have taken advantage unjustly. I am a great thief who has plundered the greatest wealth. Therefore, I am submitting myself to you for punishment. You have already bound and imprisoned me eternally. How can I serve you now, my dear Lord? This is the kind of letter she has written, in which she has clearly admitted that she had that love. And some people knew that she had that love of God. So now she is asking the Lord that, how can I keep quiet when people are suffering around me? And then we see that same thing happened when she went to South Africa and she started preaching. She got wonderful results there. And when devotees, trying to run that center in South Africa, West Africa. So there was the gang of, some burglars. The chief of them was Johnson. And they were creating havoc in that city or a town. And some of the devotees, Hare Krishna devotees, they wrote letter to this Johnson that what kind of, person are you? You are so ruthless and this and that. So why don't you behave properly? Like that she wrote. And that fellow actually read it and he took it so seriously. He actually came to the temple. And just by reading one letter, he became so enraged that he wanted to kill all the devotees. And he actually did kill. He came to the temple with his gun, along with his people. And he called all the people. So, who has written this letter? And nobody was willing to say who has written it. But anyway, so, whoever may have written it, but then I am going to kill each and every one of you. So then, therefore he called all of them. So nobody tried to leave, and you will be killed now. And he gave one concession to all Mataji. I don't kill women. Women can leave, no problem. But all the men, they will be taken care of. So, at that time, Ladini Mataji, she knew that he is going to do that, and he took that gun and she was about to shoot some of the male members. So she came up to him and she grabbed that gun and she started loudly speaking to him, what kind of person are you? They are devotees, how can you kill them? And what happened if they write a letter, you can... Is it so offensive that you have to kill them? And of course he was like that, he was like a ruthless materialist. So he said, I am going to kill, I have decided, nothing can be done now. So now she said, no, you cannot kill them. If you have to kill them, first you have to kill me. He said, are you sure? Yes, he said, I am sure. So I cannot, look at devotees who are being, insulted in this way. You want to kill them. Of course, I am a helpless lady. I cannot fight with you. But at least I will give my life before, you take their lives. So actually that fellow took that gun and he shot at her. That is how she left her body. Protecting other devotees. At the cost of what? At the cost of her own life. And then many were killed. One or two devotees who were hiding, say some or other left from that place, and they contacted other devotees. And the morning of that, it was Indira Ekadashi morning, and her body was found in some creek or some lake over there, lying down. And they found out and they understood what had happened, and then they did the necessary things. So here is an example of such a selfless servant. We can learn so many things from her. Of course, we cannot imitate, but whatever possible we can understand and learn it. And if one single lady, she can do so much for Vaishnava community and the mission of Srila Prabhupada and her own service to Jagannath, then each one of us also can do our little bit in the service of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So at this point, let us stop. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Itai Gaura Premanandi, Hare Krishna.